Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Part 2 of the Story of David.
We were the women of our time, and I was one who was loved by David, and so I knew him as a wife must know her husband. And I think back to the times when all these things happened, long, long ago, and what was in the past is now in the present. Where go the shepherds with their flock? And why is there such a great fear in all the villages? And why do the peoples beyond the Jordan tremble? Because tremble they do. There is the smell of death all across the desert, and in the valleys, and over the mountains. There is the color of blood in the glare of the sun. And there is a darkness across the sun that is like the wrath of God. And there are those who flee for their lives from a place called Gilboa, bringing word of a terrible massacre that is going on there. And there is terror spreading all the way across the land. Woe is Israel. King Saul, commanding a small Israelite army, is making a last stand against tens of thousands of Philistine Arabs. They say he cannot escape his own death in this battle, that it is God's punishment because he disobeyed God and fell into evil ways. They say this must be the end for Saul. Deathly silent now at Gilboa. The dead can make no sound, nor can they weep. But the living, what of them? They must find a way to go on living. There is one who is neither a Philistine nor an Israelite, and he finds his way across the wilderness and stumbles into David's camp.
My Lord David, King of Israel, I am footsore and weary, and the dust of the desert chokes my throat, but I have made my way to you.
Who is he?
A jackal. I think he's an Amalekite.
He addresses me as king. Why?
My Lord David, King Saul is dead. Long live King David.
Dead? Saul is dead?
My Lord, see what I bring you. Saul's coronet and bracelet. Proof of what I tell you.
Is it true?
Saul and his sons, even Jonathan, whom you loved, all dead at Gilboa.
You know this?
I swear it, my lord.
How do you know this?
I was at Gilboa, my lord. I saw the battle and saw it happen. With mine own eyes, I saw King Saul fall upon his own sword.
Liar!
My lord David, I swear it to the truth.
He killed himself?
He fell upon his own sword, but did not at once die.
Then you did what you could for him.
My lord, King Saul was a mighty warrior. He defeated my people. One has to respect such a man. My lord, I did all that any man could have done for him.
But it was too late to save him.
He was in pain. He suffered. Death was certain. No man could have saved him. My lord David, I did what he begged me to.
What did he beg of you?
He was in great misery. He begged me to finish him.
What?
And my lord, because this great man suffered, because he was dying, I obeyed him. I put him to my sword and slew him.
Curse you! Curse you!
My lord David!
Curse the man who lays hands on the anointed of the Lord God!
My lord David!
Your blood be upon your own head! With your own mouth, with your own words, you have condemned yourself, exposed your guilt. Before me and those about me, you confessed to slaying King Saul.
But he was dying. He suffered.
Kill this man and take him from my sight. So Saul is dead.
And so the people must turn to you now.
I am thinking of Saul, Jonathan, not the crown.
But the crown is yours now.
Oh, I must be certain about Saul. At least I must find out what happened, what is going on.
Send someone. Send him to Gilboa.
That much I must do.
David?
Go to Gilboa, will you?
At this hour of the night?
Go there. See what became of Saul's body and Jonathan. Find a priest and burn the bodies. But go quickly.
As fast as a man who is sound asleep can travel on a horse. David, don't take it so badly. Saul is dead by God's will.
It must be that way.
I have brought all the women here, David. What do you want with us?
Daughters of Israel, I want you to mourn. I want you to weep over Saul, who once clothed you in scarlet and delights, who gave you the ornaments of gold for your attire. Now go, and in going, weep. Valiant he was. Oh, how are the valiant fallen in battle. And Jonathan, too. Slain in high places. I grieve for you, Jonathan. Jonathan, my brother.
David mourns. And all that is left of Israel and our people mourn with him. And there is much more to mourn than any of us then thought.
What news?
Enough to drive us to a frenzy. David, hear me. The Philistine found King Saul's body, then cut his head off and carried it from town to town in exhibition.
And I'll carry the vengeance of the Lord to the ones who did this. Believe me.
Some villagers found the remains of the body and burned it. Jonathan's too.
God bless them. What else? Bad news, I take it, from your sorry look.
Our people are in bad shape.
Have the Philistines occupied all our towns?
Almost every town and every village. Our people have been driven out, scattered in all directions.
Without anyone to lead them.
And what is worse, believing God has forsaken them.
Last night, it was while I was praying, the Lord caused the name of one city to come to me. Hebron.
Hebron. It's not far from here.
Aye.
And it's one of those the Philistines have not attacked.
Then we go there.
To proclaim yourself king.
I think the time has come.
Only you have scarcely any land to rule over. and a people that is scattered across the breadth of a land we no longer control.
We have been scattered before. We may be scattered time and time again. But God has never forsaken us, nor will he ever forsake us.
We'll take everyone here with us.
We are poorly armed, even David's small army. That has always been our trouble, and now it will be worse. The sword makers, the makers of steel, are now in the hands of the Philistines. And so we set out across the wilderness towards Hebron, exposed day and night to possible attack by enemy war parties who scour the desert. In making camp at night, we dare not light fires and shiver in the cold.
David, I don't like this.
This quiet, the silence?
Well, if I could hear a jackal, I'd believe things were normal. But there is no sound. And that means the jackals know something is up and they're watching.
Perhaps there are no jackals in this part of the country.
There are plenty, David.
David, it's my brother. He's dead, killed by an arrow.
Keep quiet, all of you. And keep your eyes open.
Nothing moving out there.
You saw the arrow that killed her brother?
I saw it.
No Philistine arrow?
No, it came from the bow of an Israelite.
Oh.
Look, there they go. Half a dozen horsemen. All of them Israelites.
Oh, no use to go after them.
Well, what is this? Israelite fighting Israelite?
Something I knew might happen. Saul is dead, but his relatives and friends want to keep the crown.
You think that's it?
My house is at war with Saul's house. Yes, that's how it is. Fools! If we fight among ourselves, the Arabs will take everything we have and destroy us. Well, it won't happen that way. And the sooner we get to Hebron, the better.
Two days' march bring us to the city of Hebron. We find it overflowing with refugees and families mourning the ones they have lost in battle. The crowds are silent as David leads us to the temple steps, where an elder of the people waits to greet him. David and the elder go inside the temple to be alone and to talk, and the crowds wait outside.
David, I'm not sure our people require a king.
The choice is not yours. It is God's.
We have had one king, and he led us to disaster. And you are educated in his image. You could lead us to further misery.
Again, you have no choice. I am the king, anointed by Samuel, chosen by God.
And opposed by what remains of the house of Saul. If you wear the crown, there will be civil war.
The war has already started.
The kingship idea brings us trouble.
And still I am king. And my sons shall succeed me. And from my line the future Messiah shall be born. This much is written in the prophecies and is part of God's plan. Do you want to oppose it?
No, no, my lord. I am, well, what am I? A politician. Politics and God have little in common. That's the trouble with us all. Come, my lord, let me be the first to acknowledge you as king in public.
And David appears before the crowd again. And with him is the elder, who kneels before David to kiss the hem of his robe.
My lord David, ruler of Judah, God save King David!
So David is proclaimed king of Judah.
Of Judah, but not king of all Israel.
Israel is a word, no longer a people.
Because our people are scattered, does that make them less a people? Because so many of them are held in slavery, has God forsaken them?
Has he?
I don't think so. Do you? Well, go to sleep. I have things to do, and I'm not sleepy. Good night, woman.
Good night. good night.
Swords and spears.
So few as to mean nothing.
Well, we used bows and arrows before we learned how to make swords. So let's use them again. Thousands of bows, tens of thousands of arrows. And we'll breed horses and more horses.
You sound like war. And nothing suits me better. But do we need such an army just to put down the House of Saul?
No. We need such an army for the capture of Jerusalem. So build me an army. Send word across the desert to all our people that we need men, young men. Send word that we are going to retake Jerusalem.
The city of Hebron has become the central point for the vast army David is building. Why haven't the Arabs stormed us? What holds them back from launching an attack that could wipe us out before we're ready? Maybe it is God. David thinks so. Weeks, months passing now. Thousands of young men find their way across the desert to join David's new army. Horses, camels are brought in from every part of the desert and hills. Hundreds of men turn out bows and arrows, working day and night without rest, almost until they drop.
Hail David, King of all Israel.
Oh?
My lord king, who was Abner?
Abner? He was my close friend once.
And King Saul's finest general.
Huh.
And who has been supporting the House of Saul all this time? And against you?
Abner.
Abner is dead. And so is the last of Saul's sons. And I bring word to you that all of Israel pays homage to King David.
Saul, Jonathan, now Abner, all dead. And I love them all.
At least 1,000 men who had fought for the House of Saul are coming this way to join you, my lord, my friend, my king. Come. A jar of wine would not be out of place in this mort.
Then drink to the memory of Abner.
Oh, why mourn the dead? Especially dead enemies.
I should have your head.
My lord king, my head is yours any time you care to take it from my shoulders. But first, let me see Jerusalem taken.
The Philistines dominate the land, but the city of Jerusalem is held by the Jebusites. The city stands half in Judah and half in the country of Benjamin. It is David's plan to make Jerusalem our national capital and unite all of Israel around the throne. To attack Jerusalem, 22 miles away, David must pass by Bethlehem, about 8 miles south of Jerusalem. None of us in this time can know the event that will someday occur in the little town of Bethlehem.
Jerusalem knows we are marching against it.
What are they waiting for? Why don't they send an army to attack us?
They would need two armies to attack us. No, they'll defend the city against us and hope for some outside help from the Philistines.
Then we'll have to move in fast before the Philistines can get here.
There. Now you see. Huh. That ridge. Jerusalem lies just beyond it.
Then we'll attack the moment we come in sight of it.
Jebusite resistance crumbles, and the walls of Jerusalem crumble. Under David, the Israelite army has regained what it had all but lost, the will to fight. And Jerusalem falls. And still Jerusalem and all that David intends this city to stand for lacks one thing. The Ark of God, which has been hidden in a place called Kiriath-Jearim. For the Ark of the Covenant has been with our people for many generations, a shrine to God. And taking 30,000 men, David went to reclaim it and has brought it back to Jerusalem. And there is great rejoicing now.
Behold, the conqueror of Jerusalem. And let all the women behold me for what I am, a man strong of muscle, father of many children, beloved by many women. Behold your king!
I despise you.
Come.
I feel nothing but contempt.
Well, for me?
For you.
For your lord and your king?
As I would despise any drunken fool. As I must despise my king who forgets he is king. And who prances like a fool in front of women without regard for them.
What do you mean? Listen to me, woman. The Lord chose me to rule over his people. If I demean myself before the eyes of handmaidens, then I make myself more glorious. For I am one with the people I rule over. But you dare despise me because I was intoxicated with the victories we've won. Because I showed myself to the people. Well, why shouldn't they see their king for what he is? Who are you to despise the anointed of the Lord, huh?
Let me go.
All right, go. But in time, remember this one thing. You despised me. And you shall have no children to the time of your death.
Is that your will? Or is it God's?
It must be God's, because you will bear no children. Now go if you want to. Yes, cry if you must.
I wanted to respect you.
Have I lost my own self-respect?
You've changed.
We all change. All living changes. I am king now. I can no longer afford to be the shepherd boy Saul once knew. I am king and shall be king until my death.
And still there is music and poetry in David's heart. And someday, the music must emerge from the heart of the warrior and king. Pray God I will live to see that side of David come back.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.